Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Praise the Lord, everybody. That was it's working by William Murphy. Everybody got a seed in the praise the Lord. Evangelist Bernard.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Ruby. So good to hear you on the line. It's always good to know that you have somebody that's faithful and diligent. Amen. I like to praise the Lord to everybody. That was, as Sister Ruby said, that was William Murphy singing, "He's Working." The Bible say all things work together for the good to them that are called according to God's purpose. Amen, amen. It's working for our good. How many would like to prophesy today to themselves? Don't wait for the prophet to come, but prophesy to yourself and say, this is my season for grace. This is my season for favor. This is my season for mercy. This is my season for God's loving kindness to go before me. Amen. The man of God yesterday, Bishop Grant, amen. You don't have to wait. Hallelujah. It ain't coming. It's right now. Amen. We living in the now. Hallelujah. For we know that tomorrow is not promised to us. Only what we do for Christ today. Ha! Glory to God. I'm encouraged today. And I hope that you all are too. Amen. Once again, we welcome you to New Destiny Ministry, the time of reflection where we are empowering souls for destiny. How many want to be empowered to pursue your destiny? Amen. And we're standing on our foundational scripture that we are built, hallelujah, upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being our chief cornerstone. Amen. He is the cornerstone. He is the builder. Hallelujah. He is the maker. Hallelujah. He is the creator of all things, of humankind, mankind, of every bird and every creeping thing. Hallelujah. For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And everything that belongs in the earth, it belongs to God. We serve a Father that loves his children. We serve a Father that is always willing to give good gifts. Hallelujah. But we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny this flesh, and we have to pick up our cross and follow him. Amen, amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Truly, we are going to rejoice and be glad therein. Amen. Today is Thursday, February the 13th, 2014. We are already at the half of the month. We're in the second month in the new year. Amen. And we just giving God glory. We thank God here in California. We call it sunny California, and it is. It is. The sun is shining today. It's about 70 degrees here in Stockton, California, and we thank God for sun shining today. We also want to praise God for those that are experiencing some difficulties in other regions of the nation. Amen. Where there's ice and snow. I know one of my cousins live there in Atlanta, and they've been snowed in. Has been falling. Amen. So we want to continue to remember them in prayer. Continue to pray for Evangelist Earlene Cummins. We are going to continue to pray for her. How many have been enjoying this series this month? Amen. We started last week, on this series, The Acts of the Apostles. How many know this is where the church was formed? This is where the church was established. Amen. And if you don't visit the book of Acts, then you can't say you're on the foundation. The Bible says we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So if we built on this foundation, then we can't be afraid to go in the book of Acts. Hey, amen. That's what Jesus told Peter, upon this rock, Peter, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He said, Peter, I'm going to establish my church upon this rock. And he also told him he was going to give him the keys. Hallelujah. When you have keys, you have power. When you have keys, you have authorization. When you have keys, you've already been validated. Amen, amen. So we're going to continue on with this series. Amen, and we're just so happy to have one of our family members. I call her family because she's a part of this great family of the children of God. Amen. And that's none other than the young lady that will be bringing the message for us today. I say she's a young lady because she's young in age. Amen. But she's matured in God. Hallelujah. So guess what? You don't have to look at age when you're in Christ Jesus. Amen. You just have to look at maturity, experiences. Amen. And she has been experienced in preaching and teaching this gospel. She is a sister. She is a mother. She is a psalmist. She is a pastor. She is a preacher and a teacher of the gospel. Amen. And she's now have... they have, from my understanding, have combined their ministry. She's engaged to one of our favorites also, one of our regular pastors that's a member of this great family, and that's none other than Pastor Edward Hamilton. Amen. And we're just excited for what God is doing for his people. Amen. They got engaged last month, so I'm looking for God to do some great things in her life and also her fiance's life. Amen. So I'm going to let her come on at this time, and she can open up with the word of prayer for us on today, and that's none other than Pastor Miracle Burleson of Now Christian Fellowship there in Houston, Texas. Amen. God bless you, woman of God.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Well, thank you, Evangelist Bernard, Sister Ruby. You know, just thank God for New Destiny Ministries, for what he's doing, for all of our family, those that have called in. Hallelujah. We're just thanking God for you and thankful, you know, for this study on the book of Acts. I'm so excited that God has given that to you, Evangelist Bernard, for us to just get in the Word and to just study it out. And it's so important and it's so timely because of what God wants to do right now in the body of Christ, in the kingdom. Those things that we saw in the Word, that we read about, the mighty miracles, the multitudes, all of these things is right where we are. And so it's just very timely and very beneficial for us to get in the Word of God in the book of Acts. Let's just go ahead and begin now to pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we just worship you right now. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We just give you glory. We give you all of the honor, and we give you all of the praise, Lord God. And we come before you, Lord God, saying, not our will, Lord God, but yours be done in every area, in every situation, in every circumstance, Father God. Just giving you glory right now. Just praising you, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's none like you. We just worship you and extol you. Hallelujah. Family, let's just take a moment and just begin to worship the Lord together. Thank you, Lord God. Your name is holy. We worship you today, oh God. Hallelujah. You're hallowed and you're holy. We're thanking you right now for who you are, Lord God. We're thanking you right now for all that you're doing. We're just coming together right now to magnify your name, oh God. You are high, oh God. You are lifted up, Lord God. And we're just worshiping you now. Bless you, oh Jesus. Nothing compares to you, Lord God. No one compares to you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name. We bless your name. Sister Ruby, if you will get the song ready, you are holy. I'm going to ask Pastor Hamilton if he'll just come on and sing that with me in just a minute. We're going to worship. Hallelujah. Until we hear that music, let's just continue to worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, you're wonderful. You're wonderful, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Ooh, thank you for being so holy. We bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. There is no one like the Lord. No one compares to him. Hallelujah. Let's pray and just get into the word of God. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to fellowship together around your word. I thank you, Lord God, for your precious people. And I declare right now, Lord God, that every ear is anointed to hear. Every heart is receptive to receive. And the word of God, it falls on good ground, and it produces a harvest of change in the lives of your people. Your word is sharp and it's quick, and it cuts asunder, Lord God. And it separates that, Lord God, which you can use in your strengthening from that which you're purging away, Father. And in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the power of your word. I worship you, precious Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that you brood in the hearts, that you deal with every individual, Lord God, concerning their personal life, concerning that which you're saying to them personally, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that the eyes of their understanding are enlightened, flooded with the glorious gospel of truth, Father. And we worship you. We worship you now, God. And we covenant in advance, Lord God, to give you alone all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the credit for everything that you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah, amen. All right. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we are in a study of the book of Acts, and so today we are on chapter 10, and we definitely want to very thoroughly read the text. Amen. That's where you start the study. You read. Praise the name of the Lord. So we want to know what is it saying here in the book of Acts. So we're going to go through. It's 48 verses in the book of Acts chapter 10, where we are focusing today. So I want you to incline your ears now to hear the word of the Lord as we begin to read through this book of Acts, and then we're going to go back. All right, Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel spake, when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending upon him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came to him a voice, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 14, hallelujah. But Peter said, No, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou uncommon. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Verse 17. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he who ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? Verse 22. And they said Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all of the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear his and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them. A certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Verse 24. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Hallelujah. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you with gainsaying. And as soon as I was sent for, I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the house by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know. Hallelujah, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Verse 41, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give him all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. That is the entire chapter of Acts, chapter 10. Praise the Lord. So what we want to do now is we want to go through and just kind of, you know, kind of make some notes and just pick up a personal study. As we begin to look at Cornelius, the word of God tells us in verse 1 that Cornelius, he was a soldier. He was of the Italian band. But it gives us several insights into Cornelius' life. It says that Cornelius, he feared God. Not only did Cornelius fear God, you know, it says that all his house feared God. Now, why do we want to take a look at Cornelius? Because we can see in the Word of God that Cornelius initiated some powerful change in his family, in his neighborhood, you know, for the kingdom of God, for the Gentiles. He initiated some powerful change. Well, who was gathered there when Peter came to preach? The Bible tells us that it was his family and it was his friends in verse 34. In verse 24, it says, and on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. This man got everybody connected to him filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's worth looking into. Praise the name of the Lord. It already says that his house feared God. Hallelujah. It already says his house feared God. That means him and his kids, everybody feared God in his house. But then to go further and to be able to impact your community, be able to impact all your friends and your kin people. Hallelujah. Because everybody that was assembled got filled with the Spirit. How many of us listening today say, God, I need my family filled with the Holy Ghost. I need to impact them. You've been saved for a while, but what about those around you? It's worth looking into the life of Cornelius. How did he get this move of God in his life? How did he manifest such a powerful, impactful change? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So as we begin now to look at his life, well, the first thing that we see, praise God, is that we do see his fear of God. And when the Word of God is talking about the fear of God, it's talking about a reverential respect for God, an honoring of God, that God is first in everything. When you really respect someone, you know, there is an honor that you lift up for them. Hallelujah. There is a reverential, you know, a way that you treat them. There is a way that you esteem them, and it's higher than others. Hallelujah. And we know that God wants to be first in our lives. And so as we look into the life of Cornelius, we see that he had his priorities in order concerning the lordship of Jesus Christ and Jesus' place in his life. Hallelujah. So the fear of God is something that, you know, we want to look at in our own lives, and we want to sharpen that, the fear of God. The second thing was that all of his house, you know, fear God as well. So the order at home, and this is the same thing. This is where we are. This is what God is saying for us as well. You know, it's an intense time for those of you who have been believing for you and your house, those of you who have been believing and praying for your loved ones and your kin people. This chapter right here gives us a blueprint on how to get it done. Why? Because it also says in this same chapter that God is not a respecter of person. Paul said it. Paul was saying to them, look, God dealt with me, and I perceive that he is no respecter of persons, meaning he is a principal God, and what he did for one, he will do for you too. You just got to find out what to do, because you will get the same result. Hallelujah. We can see in the life of Cornelius that he was constant in prayer to God. You can see that in verse 2. He prayed constantly. How many of us can say about prayer life that it's not just about a box? Hey, it may start in a secret place. It may start, you know, there in that isolated place for God. Yes, we have our time on the mountain. Yes, we have our time away. But how many of you can say, I'm praying all day. All day I'm in a state of prayer. All day, hallelujah, I'm before the Lord. All day I'm sensitive. I'm listening to him. I'm fellowshipping with him. He's dealing with me. Well, this was the lifestyle that Cornelius had. Praise and a constant in prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Pray at all times. Praise the name of the Lord. So we should always be in a state of prayer. Everything that we're doing, and we're doing it prayerfully. Hallelujah. In a place of prayer. Also, we see that Cornelius was a giver to people. The Bible talks about the alms that he gave for the poor. Now, something that I want to just make a note of here is that we see that in verse 24, we have a Cornelius who gathered all of the people together at his house, okay? He gathered his friends and his kin people at his house for a word from the Lord. But we can also see in his life that he had a life of ministering to the people around him, that he was giving alms, the Bible says, to the poor. In Isaiah chapter 58, when it begins to talk about breakthrough fasting, one of the things that it says is it talks about ignoring the needs of those around you. How many of you know you can't minister to people if you can't meet their needs? Hallelujah. So we're seeing a Cornelius who was able to make disciples because he was not ignoring the needs of those around him. Hallelujah. We have to minister to the needs of the people. He had a spiritual life, but in his natural life, he was serving people. In his natural life, he was giving alms. He was seeing the needs, and he was meeting those needs. Please, Lord. The Bible is very clear about how we are to care for those in our families and how we are not to ignore the needs, you know, in our own families. Hallelujah. Let's look at that real quick. Isaiah chapter 58. Praise God, because we're going to look at it because we also see that Cornelius had been fasting for 4 days when he got this word from the Lord. So we can see that fasting is important when we begin to talk about breakthrough change and we begin to talk about breakthrough, you know, in ministry. Hallelujah. Breakthrough in the kingdom of God in our personal life. Isaiah chapter 58. Hallelujah. It talks about fasting. So it says this. Because we want to be people of fasting. We want to be people of prayer. Hallelujah. Because we want, why? We want the same result. Verse 5 says, is this in Isaiah chapter 58, is such a fast as yours that what I have chosen a day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul, humility. Fasting will humble you. It's true fasting, and I'm reading in the Amplified version of the Bible. Is true fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow down his head like a bull rush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him to indicate a condition of heart that he does not have? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Now, I want you to watch this. This is proper fasting because we're talking about breakthrough in ministry. We're talking about breakthrough in our family. We're talking about getting everybody connected to us, saved and delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All right, it says this. Rather, verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke? The word of God says you're going to break the yoke. You fast, the power is going to come upon you, and the yoke will be broken. Verse 7 says, it is not to divide your bread. It says, is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? I'm showing you the connection and the power of alms and fasting. See, what Cornelius was doing was so powerful. It wasn't just fasting. It wasn't just his prayer life. It wasn't just, it was all of it put together. Hallelujah. That got this level of a major breakthrough. So even when the Bible begins to teach us about fasting, it flows right into, directly into, you know, how we deal with the poor, how we deal with those who are in need around us. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood. See, God put that right in the middle of the breakthrough. See, verse 5 and 6 talks about what you're going to do, talks about fasting and why. Then verse 7, right in the middle, talks about, okay, but don't forget the poor, don't forget the needy, don't forget those connected to you that have needs. Then verse 8 is where the breakthrough comes. It says, then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life shall spring forth. Speedily, your righteousness, your rightness, your justice, your right relationship with God shall go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. But before you can get to that, God, he inserted in there about, don't you dare forget about the poor. Don't you dare forget about the needy. Don't you dare forget about the needs of the people. How we can have such a spiritual life. And you know, we're praying to God, and we have this spiritual thing going on that is our vertical relationship. But what about the horizontal? What about the needs of the people? Hallelujah. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and flesh, in spirit and truth. But how many of you know your people, the people all around you that need discipling, they're natural. They have natural needs. So the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us that, you know, as we are seeking the breakthrough for people, as we are seeking to get them to come and gather, you know, we want to have a gathering like Cornelius was able to have in his house where all his kin people, all his friends came. Not only did they come, but they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Their lives were changed forever. But we can see into that he was sensitive to the needs of people. He was a giver of alms. He wasn't just fasting for 4 days. We see that in the word. He was fasting for 4 days. But we also see that he was a giver of alms. We should have a checklist. We should be searching ourselves. That's what the word of God is for. The Bible says the word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. That means it shines brightly and it helps us to see the way to go. This is the way to go. Increase our giving. This is the way to go. To search around to see what needs have I been ignoring that are close to me, that are all around me while I'm praying. What, you know, the Bible talks about how the man was on the way to church and how he ignored the need of a brother. It's religion. It's a spirit of religion when we ignore the needs of others. So the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today, he's saying as we are desiring personal breakthrough, as we are desiring breakthrough for the ministry, and as we're lifting up our needs before the Lord and we're saying, give us this day our daily bread. We're saying all these things to God. God is saying the same thing to us. He's saying, give your brother their daily bread. Don't forget about the needs of people. You know, how can you love me who you've not seen and you pass up all of these needs around you all day? And then you try to minister to the same people and it's not effective and we can't get them together. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. So as we look at Cornelius, he was a man of fasting. He was a man who feared God. All his house feared God. He was constant in prayer. He was a giver of alms. He didn't ignore the natural needs of the people. And the Bible says that all of these things together, in Acts chapter 10, verse 4, it says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms. You need to underline that in your Bible. Your prayers and your alms. In other words, your spiritual walk, your prayers with me, your our relationship, your fellowship with me, your prayers to me, and your giving to the needs of people. Because the Bible says that Cornelius, he gave, if you go back to verse 2, in Acts chapter 10, it says that he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. He took care of the needs of the people. So in verse 4, he says, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. In other words, God is paying such attention. You know, this, God is in remembrance of how you're praying. God, you know, how you have been giving to the needs, of how you've been meeting the needs of those around you. It, you know, has come before God. It has moved God. It is so moved God that you now get a visitation from heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So what do we do in our personal lives? What do we do in our ministry? We make sure that our focus is not just on our vertical relationship with God, but we make sure that our focus is on, Lord, how can you use us to meet the needs of people more? Hallelujah. We put an intent focus on that. Praise the name of the Lord. Who around me, dear God, have I been ignoring? Who around me have I been on my way to church? You know, and I'm not checking on people in my family, or I'm overlooking widows and orphans. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm forsaking the needs of those in my family. So we open ourselves up for the Spirit of the Lord to show us. How many of you can say, Lord, show me myself. I want to change. Isn't that what the Word of God is about? It's about experiencing the power to change. We're not just reading the Word to read the Word. We're trying to look to see. We're trying to conform to the image of the dear Son Jesus. We're trying to learn some principles whereby we can implement so we can get the results that we need so we can operate according to God's system. We want to know what triggers God, what brings up a memorial before God, what's important to God. Hallelujah. All right, now let's look at Peter. In verse 5, it begins to talk about Peter. Now, in chapter 9, it gives Peter's full assignment, that Peter had an assignment for the Gentiles. And I want you to know that just like Peter had an assignment, that all of us have an assignment. You know, we all have an assignment in God. That before we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. Just as he did Jeremiah, the book in Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, before I was formed in thy mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So Jeremiah had an ordination and an assignment on his life. Jesus was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus came here with an assignment to die for us on a cross called Calvary. It was already established, the assignment. Before God gave us a flesh, he gave us an assignment. Before we entered into the mother's womb and began to form flesh all around our spirit, we had an assignment. Hallelujah. And so this is the hour where we must know our assignment and we must flow in it. This is the hour of the assignment. This is the time where the assignment comes into full focus, into full fruit. Hallelujah. If it's three things I had to break this chapter down, it would be first the foundation. It would be second, It would be, first, it would be the foundation. The second thing is it would be the functioning, a functioning in the assignment. And the third thing, it would be the fruit. But we, in order to function, we have to know our assignment with crystal clear clarity. So Peter, in verse 9, we see that Peter also had a lifestyle of prayer. You're not gonna get a move of God without a prayer life. You're not going to hear God without a prayer life. Hallelujah. Well, how can God hear you without a prayer life? It is foundational. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, in the second thing is in verse 14, you know, let's look at verse 14 again. Chapter 10, verse 14, it says this. It says, but Peter said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So the Lord was dealing with Peter about a vision. And so Peter, the Lord asked him to eat something. So Peter began to say, Lord, no, I don't eat that. Hallelujah, because it is unclean. And so what we see there is that God is dealing with Peter about his perspective about God's people. We have to remember these are God's people. When we're in ministry and we're doing kingdom work, and even in our families, even our children, even on our jobs, everybody connected to us, these are God's people. These are precious people for whom Jesus died. And if each individual was the only one, he would have died for that one. Hallelujah. And so God begins to deal with Peter about what Peter is calling unclean, about Peter's perspective in ministry concerning people and concerning, you know, what God is doing. So in verse 19, well, let's go back up to verse 14. So Peter was in ministry with a faulty perception of people, and his perception was law-based. It was based on the law. Hallelujah. The law has to do with, you know, strict structures and guidelines and orders. But when Jesus came, Jesus brought what? He brought the ministry of grace. Hallelujah. The ministry of unmerited favor, that the gospel was now open to the Gentiles as well. Hallelujah. That there needs to be a shifting in our perspective. We see in verse 19 that Peter had a spiritual, he had a life of spiritual meditation. Even when he had the vision and God began to deal with him, how he took time to meditate upon that, to meditate on the word of the Lord. In verse 19, it says this. It says, while Peter thought on the vision. How many times does God show us something? Does he say something? And, you know, I don't know about you all, but you got to take time with God, and you got to think. You got to meditate. You got to reflect on it. You got to hear what God is saying. You got to dissect it. Lord, what is it you're saying to me? Lord, what is it you're showing me? Peter had that kind of lifestyle. That is foundational. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 19, it says this. It says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek them. So while he was meditating on the word, God was speaking again. This is a lifestyle of spiritual meditation. It's a lifestyle of listening to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Ooh, praise God. Verse 20, his relationship with God, I want you to see something in verse 20. Let me read it first, and then we're going to look into it. Verse 20 says this, arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent thee. Now, I want in verse 17, we see that Peter, in his own personality, he had a mentality of doubting. Verse 17, it says, now, while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean. So he was already kind of doubting. This is what the Lord said to him in verse 20. Arise, therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. What is the Spirit of the Lord? What do we learn from this particular verse? Is that our relationship with God, it is designed to even offset our personal character traits, our personal tendencies. How many of you know we all have a way that we normally function? Hallelujah. We all have a way that we normally process information, a systematic way of doing things. And how many of you know that in this season, God may interrupt that, and it has to be okay. But it has to be done within the context of relationship, within the context of meditating, within the context of listening, within the context of obeying God without full knowledge. Hallelujah. So the scary thing is,
for those who don't have that, who are not listening to God and don't get that word to God to say, go with them doubting nothing. And those that sabotage their own assignments because they're not hearing God. And in the moment when the three men show up and we say, well, I don't know why you're here, and we shut the door. This is not the season where you're not in tune with the Spirit of the Lord. This is the time to obey God without full knowledge, to hear God, and for God to be able to shift your normal course of operating, and you say, yes, Lord, and you leave with three men that you don't even know because God told you who they were. Praise the name of the Lord. Come on, we got to surrender what we've always done. We got to surrender who we've always been, how we've always operated. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. In order for a new thing to spring forth, we got to operate in newness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's surrender everything to the Lord right now. Say, God, I know I've always done things this way, and I know we are reasoning agents. We have to reason through everything. We have to understand fully. But this is the season where, no, just obey. Just hear God. Hear God, that's foundational. How can you function if you don't have a word? How will you get to some fruitfulness? How will you ever bring forth fruit if you don't have a relationship and a habit of hearing God, a habit of meditating, reflecting, thinking on him, comparing everything that happened today to what the word of God says, everything that happened today to the last thing God told you, seeing, am I lining up? Is this lining up? What's really going on? This lifestyle of fasting, prayer, respect for God, helping people, loving on people, meeting the needs of those around you, this lifestyle of hearing God, getting a vision, hearing what God has to say about it. Hallelujah. This lifestyle of obeying God without full knowledge. Praise the name of the Lord. We surrender that to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Verse 34 and 35, you know, that God is no respecter of person. Now, we have to deal with our perspective, because in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 2, there were several things that caused the Spirit of the Lord and the glory of God, which is what we see here in chapter 10, when everyone got filled with the Spirit and you know, the glory of God came in. Well, in Isaiah chapter 2, there were some things that caused the Spirit of the Lord to walk away from some churches, to walk away from the house of Jacob. And one of those things were being a respecter of people, you know, having big people, having little people. But God had to deal, you know, having these people are better than those people. You know, even based on the law can flip, the natural law of the land can flip that around and make it appear that certain nationalities of people are more important than others, you know, or slightly better than others, and some peoples are unclean and others are not, you know. But the Lord wants to purge our consciousness of all of that, and he wants us to have his heart toward all humanity, that Jesus died on the cross for everybody, and that the gospel, I'm telling you, the gospel is the truth, and the power of the blood is still saving. Hallelujah. It still saves. It saves everybody. The blood, you know, it's for everybody. That there is no respecter of persons in God. That God has now opened it up not just for the Jews, Peter, but also for the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And that even in our ministries and even in our churches and even in our families, that we understand, how do we translate this change of mindset? How do we translate this, God is not a respecter of persons? Well, we come out of the religious thinking that if they have on a three-piece suit, they're better than the person that's sagging. Because I know some sold-out brothers who wear that because, you know, for whatever reason, but you would be fooled if you judged them from the outside. If you focus on the tattoos and you focus on the haircuts and you focus on the clothes, you focus on the bling, you would miss their heart. You would miss their passion for God. I can see the character of Cornelius dressed like that. I know some people who have this character of this man of God that fear God, him all their house, that constant in prayer, give to people, will give their last to people, sold out for the work of God, but they're tatted up. Sold out for the work of God, but they're blinging and their pants are sagging just a little bit. But this is not the hour to be a respecter of person. This is not the hour to look upon that, because you will miss it. Those are the ones God is using right now. He's putting them on the front line. Hallelujah. And many of the three-piece suits, you know, many of the things that we consider in our thinking, we consider in our mindset, you know, the appearance of holiness, the appearance of godliness, you know,
We can't judge it on that in this season. We have to say, God, I want you to do it in me like you did in Peter. Show me how I'm looking at people wrong. Show me, you know, where I'm missing it. You know, show me who I'm neglecting. What needs around me are keeping me from a breakthrough because I keep ignoring them. Whatsoever good any man do it, the same shall he receive of the Lord. As we begin to meet the needs of others, what is God going to do for us? Hallelujah. As we stop ignoring those things, hallelujah, praise the name of the Lord. As we lift up a heart that says, God, show me me. Hallelujah. That's one of the number one things, you know, I deal with people about when we're praying or whatever. Put your heart on the altar. The Bible says the heart above all things is deceitfully wicked. Who can know their own heart? We have to put our heart before God and say, Lord, show me. Show me. We're reading about Cornelius and Peter, and we can see it with crystal clear clarity. But we can see the heart of God, that even with fasting, you need to be giving. You need to be focused on loving on people. You need to be focusing on the needs of people. If you want a breakthrough with people, you got to sow into them. Hallelujah. You got to minister to their natural needs. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's a shifting in our perspective in this hour that needs to take place for the level of breakthrough we're expecting. Hallelujah. Can't look at people the same way. Can't judge by the outer appearance. You know, years ago in 2008, I had a sister, and me and this particular sister, we were a lot alike, and, you know, I had 14 children, and so I was the youngest, and we were the two who were musicians. We both played for my dad's church. We played the instrument. We both had been in the beauty pageants, and they said, I look like her. I mean, you just go down the line. You know, it was just like Yvonne. But her life took a turn, you know, that God didn't necessarily let my life take. Her life took a turn in her adult years toward drugs. And it took a turn toward alcohol and prostitution. And she lost everything. She lost her kids. She wasn't able to raise them. She lost her beauty. You know, she developed several diseases. And, you know, we would ride through certain neighborhoods. And, you know, my family, when I was growing up, see her on the corner selling her body. And it was painful for my dad. It was painful for my mother. And in the year 2008, on my birthday, she passed away.
My.
And she passed away, and I had the pleasure of doing, the honor of doing the funeral. They asked me to do the funeral. And the one thing that the Lord told me is I shut up in my closet to hear him, because I had to hear him, because my flesh was saying, well, God, what about my prayers? I asked you that, to let her live. That's what my flesh was saying. My flesh was saying I didn't want her to die. I wanted her to have a Paul Saul conversion, and I wanted her to do ministry with me. I didn't want it to end like that. I had to get away from my flesh and shut up myself in a closet and hear God. I need to know, God, what are you saying about my sister? She's dead.
My.
And the Lord told me this. He said, tell the people don't judge. He said, tell them don't try to judge her life, because her heart was crying out for help and nobody was there to help her. Her heart was crying out. She was praying in the crack house. She wanted to be delivered. She couldn't overcome her flesh. He says, a man look at the outside, but I look at the heart, and she's with me. Tell him. I rescued her from her flesh. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about how, you know, our flesh can be so weak that it can't overcome, you know, that our spirit can't overpower our flesh. That's why we spend our time in the Word. That's why we focus our time in prayer and fasting, so that it can break the hold of our flesh on us. God said she never got there, but she loved me. He said she never really got there, but she was crying out for help. How many people ignored her on the corners? How many people didn't care, didn't check on her? How many people were so busy judging her and being ashamed of her lifestyle that they didn't even care about her needs anymore? They didn't care if she was hungry and wanted a burger, and they could have went and bought it. But because of her lifestyle, they ignored her, and they threw her away, and they passed by her, and they ignored her phone calls. And God said, I couldn't really find nobody to minister to her. She had got so bad. But he said, I got her. She's with me. Tell them.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. How many people are we riding by in our own families? Well, just because their life don't appear, you know, I hear it all the time. People say, I love God. You know, people with a strong call of God on their life, they could be in the club and they still thinking about the Lord, because you can't get away from him. It's nothing you can do. God will take his hand off of you. If his hand is on, you can be selling dope
and God will be using you to preach his word. You can be in a crack house and God will be right there with you. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is not the time to judge people. This is the time to love people. This is the time to love people. This is the time to love them out the crack house. This is the time to love them. Bless the name of Jesus. God says, while you're praying, God says, while you're fasting, while you're going to church, what about the needs in your own family? What about the needs in your house? There is something you can do that can get everybody saved. Because Cornelius did it, and God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for one, he'll do it again. If he did it for that man and all his kin people and all his friends, he'll do it in my life. God says, tell him don't judge another man's servant. Tell him don't look at the appearance of things. You know, the Lazarus, you know, was a beggar, and he stood, you know, people discern, they say, they look at the comforts of this life, and they determine whether or not you are successful. God said, tell him they can't judge it by that. Because he says, I've received her into my, I've received her. She's with me. She's comforted now. She wasn't comforted then. Yes, she had problems, but she's with me now. It's all okay. Tell them to stop judging based on, you know, what people have and what they don't have and what they look like and their mistakes. Because I want you to know that Jesus paid it all. It's all under the blood. And if we're going to see revival in this season, we have to let people off the hook. We have to understand that the blood is sufficient for them, that the grace of God is unmerited for all of us, no matter how long we've been in church, no matter how good we preach, no matter how good we dress, no matter what successes that we've seen, the blood is undeserved favor. The blood, it covers all of us. The favor of God, not one of us have deserved it. He's given it out freely. And he is no respecter of persons. He lets it rain on the just as well as the unjust. You know, I see some godly character. I see some principles that Cornelius operated in, and I see some results that I want in my life. I see some results that, you know, for ministry. I see some things, some results, you know, some things for changing a community, changing a family, changing a city right here in Acts chapter 10. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our hearts are before the Lord right now. Hallelujah. We say, God, deal with our hearts. God, show me myself. Show me what I'm doing. Show me where I'm missing it. Show me where I'm looking at people wrong. Show me where I am a respecter of persons. Show me how I do respect certain people more than other people, because I'm telling you, people are souls, and they're valuable. The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, but the treasure of heaven and the wealth of heaven, because there is no money in heaven. The wealth of heaven is not $5 million. You can't even take that up there. They don't need it. It's no need for that. It's God collecting in heaven. The wealth of heaven is souls. That's what's valuable to God. That's what God wants. He wants souls. Every time he gets another one, he's richer. He's more blessed. He's more fulfilled. He's happy. Heaven rejoices every time one person gets saved. You know, yeah, here on the earth sometimes we get a little happier when some money hit the bank. We get a check in the mail. Yeah, we get happy. We rejoice. But I'm telling you about heaven. I'm telling you about God. God says, to me, one soul is more valuable than all the money on this planet.
Amen, amen.
He says, I want the souls of men. I want you to go after the souls of men. I want you to love some people into my kingdom. I want you to love some people enough where they know if they come to your house, you're going to bless them because you've been doing it all the time. When they come to your house, you feed them. When they come to your house, they have a good time. And they're treated like guests. They're treated like royalty, whether they have nothing or not. You don't treat other people better than you treat them. So you can get them to come when Peter's going to come preach. You can get them to show up. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today, hallelujah, that it's a time to love like never before. It's a time to minister to the needs of people like never before. So God is not a respecter of person, and we are not to be respecter of people. We are not to judge people. We are to love people. Oh, no man, nothing but love. And the Bible says that love gives, for God so loved the world that he gave. Anytime, you know, you're measuring the love of somebody, you look at what they give, what they do, even if it's attention, even if it's compliment, even if it's, you know, just comfort, whatever it is, if it's love, it's going to give.
So it makes sense how giving would impress God, because it's his nature. And giving to people, because people is his treasure. So when you connect the nature and the likeness of God, who is love, with your ministering to the treasure and the most important apple of his eye and the thing that means the most to him, then you get a visitation. Hallelujah. Then you get a visit from heaven. Hallelujah. Then you get a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Then you get an outpour and a manifestation of the glory of God and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and fire. Then you get that. Ooh, praise the name of the Lord. And we see that as Paul went, you know, in verse 38, it gives us our base expectations of our operating like Jesus. Look at what it says. It says this in the Amplified Version, Acts 10 and verse 38, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth. Now, this is Peter sharing with them. Peter shows up and he says, look, because first of all, he didn't know why he was going. But God, in his relationship with God, he was already prepared. How many of you know when you stay before the Lord, you have the word for the house? God is already dealing with you about it. That's why it's important to always be listening. It's important to always be in the word, always be before the Lord. Because the Lord had already been, we can see, that the Lord had already been dealing with Peter about the word that they needed. It was in the vision. It was in his time on the roof in the sixth hour when he was praying, that God had already begun to prepare him. That's why we can't forfeit that foundation of that foundational lifestyle of meditation, prayer, hearing God, seeking God, time in the word. We can't forfeit that, because it keeps us prepared for those things that are to come. But even as he didn't know why he was going, he just know God told him to go. But when he showed up, all he could pour out was of his own foundation. All he could pour out was of how God had been dealing with him, which was right on point. That was the word. God is not a respecter of persons. And then he began to preach the one thing that we can never forfeit, and that was the gospel of truth.
Right, all right.
Hallelujah. The gospel, it has not changed. I don't care what the rhema word is for the house, it's still about Jesus died. It's still about the gospel story. That's still what's going to save them. That's still what's going to set them free. That's still what's going to break the yoke. Hallelujah. So it says this in verse 34, let's look at the message that Peter gave the people. As we're studying here, Acts chapter 10. And Peter opened his mouth and said, most certainly and thoroughly, I now perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of person. That was straight from his relationship with God. That was straight from his vision, straight from his meditation, straight from his time alone with God. Verse 35. But and how many of you know God is preparing you right now for some stuff that's coming? God is dealing with me with some words about the churches and some things that I know is coming, but he's dealing with me right now. That's why relationship is important. That's why it's important to listen, because God is a God who's going to prepare you now. You may not understand why you're studying certain things. You may not understand why he's dealing with you about certain things, but there's a door that's going to open, and you're going to be ready based on your relationship with God and your prioritization of it. As we keep him first, as we're listening, as we're flowing with his spirit, and as we're allowing him to conform us and change us and to change our perspective and to show us our heart and to make these adjustments. Hallelujah. Verse 35, but in every nation, he who venerates and has a reverential fear of God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him. You know the content of the message which he sent to Israel, announcing the good news, the gospel of peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. The same message which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism preached by John. Verse 38, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the strength and ability and power, how he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. And we are eye and ear witnesses of everything that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And yet they put him out of the way, murdered him by hanging him on a tree. But God, come on, isn't this the gospel? Didn't Peter go in there and preach the word? He told them how he relayed to them of his personal experience, how God had been dealing with him. This rhema word about, hey, the gospel is for y'all too. The gospel is for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. It's not just about only the Jews anymore. It's about now the Jews and the Gentiles. That was rhema. God had been dealing with him. He went straight into the gospel story. Verse 40, but God raised him to life on the third day and caused him to be manifest, to be plainly seen. Hallelujah. Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before. Of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give him power. All the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That is the gospel. As we are loving on people, as we are beating their knees, as we are discipling them, as we are preparing them for the infilling of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, praise the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, we have to preach the gospel story that your sins are forgiven no matter what they are, no matter how bad it looks, no matter what you've done. Come on, it's easy for us to tell our testimonies of how things were and what God, where God brought us from and what he delivered us from. But when you look eyeball to eyeball with somebody who's right in the middle of it, can you tell them? Can you tell them, you know what, where you are right now, God still loves you. He can turn you into this. He can do this for you. Can you be friends with them right there where they are? Can you go pick them up for church right there in the midst of their prostitution, in the midst of that? Can you make a priority? Can you invite them to your house? Can you fix food for them? Can you love on them right there in that place where they are? Hallelujah. Can they feel the grace of God flowing from your heart? Can they get the gospel story? Can they get reminded when you come around that they're forgiven? Keep, you know, God, look, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. That's powerful. That's a powerful word for somebody. To just show up and tell them God loves you. Your sins are forgiven. You're not going too far. God cares about you. But how do we, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to show them. Because we are God, we are the Bible that people are reading. We are the epistles read of all men. That when they're not seeing God, they're seeing us. When they're not hearing God, they have no foundation. They're not functioning in anything yet. There is no fruit for ministry and for the kingdom. So while they don't have all of that, what do they have? God says, I need them to have you. I need you to be my arms outstretched. I need you to love on them. I need your ministry not to be about the high and the mighty. I need your ministry to be about everybody. I need your ministry to touch those in the neighborhood, to touch those on the corner. I need you to love on those that others don't want to love on. I need you to go out there and minister to the hard cases. I need you to minister the grace of God, to minister the love of God. Hallelujah. I need you to be filled with compassion. You know, so many times in the Word of God, we see stories of great men and women of God where God took them on a journey in their preparation, and a big part of their preparation was to understand who they were going to minister to. Moses had to grow up in Pharaoh's house so he could understand the pain of the Israelites, so that he could have enough compassion to go get them. So he could claim them and say, these are my people. But there had to be a process of preparation. Everything you went through was so you can have the heart of compassion to go get them out the prisons. Go get them out the crack house. Go get them, says the Spirit of the Lord. Love them out of there. The Lord wants to release some assignments of some really hard cases. But can you handle it, says the Spirit of the Lord? Because I want to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah.
The glory to God.
Hallelujah. Bless the name, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. God, let us not be a part, hallelujah, of this uppity church that only care about the tithing members, the long-standing tithing members with careers and three-piece suits and that bring food to the church. What about those that need you to bring food to them?
All right.
What about those who have nothing to offer?
Thank you, Jesus. You preach today.
The Spirit of the Lord is bringing correction. Hallelujah. He's bringing correction. He's shining a light on that area. Why? Because the people, we're not focused on it. The Spirit of the Lord is saying, focus there for revival. Focus right there. Go feed some people. Watch revival break out. Go meet some needs and watch I move and watch I pour out my spirit. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Show the people you care about them and see don't they come to church for you because you asked them to come. They came when Cornelius asked them to come. But the Bible says that man was a giver of alms. That man cared about the needy. He got them to show up. But we wonder why we can't get them to show up, says the Spirit of the Lord. You want revival. Focus in on the needs of the people. Focus in on the community. Focus in on those who really need true ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord, they're searching right now. They're searching. And what they're finding and who's finding them are not my own. God says it's others that are going out there discipling them when they're ripe and ready for me. And while the church is seeking the treasure of the earth and forsaking the treasure of heaven, which is souls and people, only what we do for Christ will last.
Come on, you preaching.
Only what we do for Christ will last. As we're embarking upon this end-time outpouring of the glory and the anointing of God like we have never seen before, this is what God is preparing us for. He's preparing us right now for the greater works of deliverance, that everything that Jesus did, how he flowed in the power of the Spirit and in the might of the Holy Ghost with fire and demonstration, how we will operate now in the greater works. But God is giving us a blueprint for breakthrough. He's giving us a blueprint for change and a blueprint, hallelujah, for getting masses of people in field with the Holy Ghost. He's saying that everything you do in ministry in this season has to come from a word. It has to start from my voice. I need to talk to you and tell you who need to come to your house and preach. I need to tell you who need to show up at the church and preach. I need to tell you the people who are going to be in the programming. I need to tell you specifically. I will give you specific instructions because it's not everybody that I've been dealing with. I haven't given everybody a word in this season. Nobody had that word but Peter. Nobody else could have got that manifestation but Peter, because God is a God of order, and he had dealt with Peter. He had shown him that now is the time for the Gentiles. In chapter 9, he had already announced the assignment on Peter's spirit before the foundations, before Peter entered his mother's womb, he was assigned to the Gentiles. So God knew that Peter needed to be the one that went. It's time out for getting anybody to preach those sermons. It's time out for inviting whatever preacher you think of to come preach a word at this program. God said, I'm calling for order. I have given specific instructions to certain people who have the right foundation. I'm dealing with them. They have a rhema word for the house. Get them. Call them, says the Spirit of the Lord. But not everybody in this season has a word.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Not everybody is going to get an outpour of the Holy Ghost when they show up. Not everybody's been on the rooftop in the sixth hour. Not everybody's been meditating on visions and dreams that I've given them.
Okay.
I'm not even giving dreams to everybody. I'm not dealing with everybody about the shifting that's taking place in the kingdom right now. They are clueless to what is going on. They are clueless to how the Spirit of the Lord has shifted. They don't even know what I'm doing. God said, get Peter. Find Peter.
Glory.
Because when Peter comes, there's going to be an outpour. When Peter comes, they'll all get filled. The assignment is on Peter. I don't want to deal with anybody that God has not called their name to me. That God has not said, this is the person. I can't yoke up in a relationship if God didn't say you the person. Because God is a God of order. And he didn't create anything or any person without an assignment. Hallelujah. There are people assigned to New Destiny Ministry. There are specific voices that the Lord has ordained to be a part of this network, this ministry, this broadcasting. But God says, I'm raising up something. I'm raising up something that is new. I'm raising up something that is real. I'm raising up something that I'm pouring out my Spirit on it. I'm not pouring out my Spirit everywhere, says the Spirit of the Lord, because many places my Spirit has left, even some networks, even some broadcasting networks, God has walked away. And the voices that you're hearing, God says, I'm raising up new voices. I'm raising up a new sound, and it's a pure sound. It's a sound with a foundation and a word for the house right now. It's a rhema word right now. And there's some demonstration, and there's some power. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now is the time. Now is the appointed time for breakthrough. Now is the appointed time when he says, I confirm my word with signs following. Now is the time of the proof and the evidence.
Hallelujah. The demonstration and the power, the miracles, the healing, the deliverance, the signs and the wonders, the rhema word that's straight from heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we say tonight, we say right now, we say, God, we surrender to you. God, keep us lined up with exactly what you're saying, exactly the right people. Hallelujah. For every situation, for every circumstance, for every gathering, the right people. For every broadcast, the right people. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you for a heart to go after those that are hurting, those that have need, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Come on, can we pray a prayer? God, show us those we've been overlooking. So those who've been praying to heaven, but they can't get no help down here. I don't want God to have to take none of my loved ones because nobody down here cares about them. Hallelujah. Can we say, God, we got them. God, you can depend on us. We won't drive by, you know, 20 and 30 homeless people to get to church and have never invited them.
Come on,
have
now.
Have never even found out if they're saved, if they know Jesus and the pardon of their sin, have never even cared. But you wouldn't pass by $20. You wouldn't walk over $20 because that's where your treasure is. God said we have to align our hearts with his heart. What's important to God has to become important to us. Hallelujah. The Bible says repeatedly times Jesus healed them all. He didn't leave $20 on the ground. He didn't leave $50 because what was the treasure? It was the people. When the people needed healing, it was when the people needed, you know, the blind needed to see. That was the treasure. That was the soul. It was when the lame needed to walk. That was the treasure. That was the soul. And he healed them all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
Woo, bless
yeah.
the name Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Use us, oh God. Don't let us be conformed into the image of the traditional church. Don't let us be conformed into anything but the image of the dear son, Jesus. Let there be signs and wonders, Lord God. Let there be demonstrations of power. Let there be a rhema word every time we open our mouth and show up. Speak to the hearts of people, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Now is the time of the assignment. Thank you, Jesus. And we give God alone. Father, we commit to give you alone all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise, Lord God, as you shift us and transition us into perfect alignment with what you're doing right now in the center of your will. And we say, God, not our will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Evangelist Bernard.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. That was a word. That was a word. Truly, God, no respect of persons. Amen, amen. It's nothing I can add and nothing I can take away. This was a rich word today spoken by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Holy Ghost speaks, and sometimes we prepare ourselves because God told us to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. So even though we are to study and prepare, sometimes God say, hey, all right, you did what was required of you. You studied and you prepared. But guess what? I don't want no notes today. I want to speak today. I want my voice to be heard today. Not Pastor She spoke through the Holy Ghost today. That's what you call a rhema word, a word fresh right from heaven, right from God Almighty, right from the mouth of God. And she didn't speak something out of a Bible that she created. This was the word of God. Jesus said, I have no respect. God don't have no. We don't even know that respect. Read your Bibles. Respect the persons is sin. And that's basically what this message was today, for us to not judge. To not judge. You can't look at somebody because they have on makeup and jewelry and pants and say, oh, she just told the story about her sister. I know that had to change her life forever. Hallelujah. We go in every day dressing up, sitting in these big mega churches, and I have nothing against them. But who's going in the inner city? As she said, who's going into the crack houses? Who's up all through the night praying when the Lord gets you and say, get up, you've had enough sleep. Lay prostrate before me. Pray for Danielle. Pray for Jamal. Pray for Sister Ruby. Pray for Errol. Pray for those that they can come out of this stuff that they're in.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And God have reached down and pulled us out the muck and the mire. We owe it. We owe God to go back. He said, after you have been converted, you got to reach back and you got to strengthen and help your brother and your sister. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. You have spoke. The Holy Ghost have used you today.
Hallelujah.
Like the way she articulated, she didn't leave a stone unturned. It's time for us to think about the. Sometimes, you know, we even me, I get tired and I say, Lord, I'm sick of seeing my brother drinking. Every time the first of the month roll around, there he's drunk. You know, they texted and came in. Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm gonna push back my plate for him this year, this month, this week. I'm gonna push back my plate. I'm gonna say, Lord, I want you to deal with this heart. Don't let him rest. Don't let him pick up a alcohol bottle. Don't let him pick up a rock or whatever they be on. Lord, don't let him do it. I was over to his house seeing one of my brothers yesterday, and I was laughing. You know, I said sometimes people think I'm comical. Well, I am a little comical. I have to admit it. But I told him, I said, now I'm going on home. I said, I can see you being a deacon in my church. I said, I'm going to ordain you as a deacon. And he just looked at me real crazy, and he said, I'll come visit, but I don't know about being no deacon. See, right there, when you made that statement and said, I'll come visit, that's all God is looking for. He's looking for a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He said, your heart is broken. And your spirit is contrite. He said, I will in no ways, Pastor Miracle, turn you away. So she will give up on folks that God haven't given up on. We give up on them, but God haven't given up on them. Hallelujah. My heart is rejoicing, and I grieve with you when I heard you say that about your sister. Hallelujah. This was a word, people of God. I hope everyone that was listening today, that you begin to just examine yourself. Examine yourself and see where you are. And if you're in the faith, if God has done something for you, then you owe it to your brother and sister. You owe it to them. You have to go back and give them your testimony. Amen, amen. I'm going to turn the lines over to Sister Ruby. I know we have a lot of callers on the line today, so please, you know, remember your sisters and brothers. I know this was a word. Really, all we need to say is let the church say amen, because this girl, this young, this pastor has spoken. And she didn't preach. She preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. She went to the book of Acts, and then she went to Isaiah. She didn't preach her own gospel. She preached what thus saith the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Miracle. That was the word. The Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Sister Ruby, in your hands.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. That was the word. We have quite a few callers on the line, and we're going to try to go to the new one. I think she's before 832-8726.
Hello, this is Minister Crisha.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was you, Minister Crisha. How you doing today?
Okay, I was truly, truly blessed by the word from Acts 10 and everything that was said, hallelujah, because like Pastor Malcolm said, it's easy to minister to people that, you know, don't really need you and you invite them. But when you invite someone and minister to someone who don't have a car, that means you got to do the footwork. You got to go pick them up. So that means you got to leave early, and you have to pick them up. And you know, I've been doing that, but it's not easy. So, but those are people, too, and they need the word, and they need to be fed spiritually. And And God take us in whatever state that we in, because we can't clean ourselves up. The word is the one that purifies. So I've been blessed, and what God is doing is softening us, not just God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have quite a few new callers, I imagine. Let's go here. See what we're coming to you. We have quite a few today. 313-5735. Okay, we thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock. God bless you. Okay, let's hear it. We're going to, let's try to hit this. Minister Aaron.
Praise
Minister
the Lord.
Aaron.
I just, you know, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I just got on the tail end of it because I was listening, but I was doing some things around the house, but that was powerful, what she was talking about. And what she was explaining, because God been getting me ready for fasting and praying and seeking him and getting myself together and getting myself prepared. I don't know what he's about to do this year, but I feel something's about to happen to me. I'm claiming it, and I'm stretching out in faith in God. And some things, like my cousin was just saying not too long ago, I was listening to her testimony, which she was saying to her brother, but what's happening when you move to New Orleans, when God bless you that way, what's going to happen, because we have a big family in New Orleans, when God bless you with your church, you're going to have the whole family in it. You got to see the vision before it comes to pass, and that's what God is doing. He's setting it up, because everybody, we got so many people in New Orleans, if the whole family down there can be in the choir, down there for your church, all that. God can open doors. You just got to claim it in faith, trust in God. So what she was speaking on and preaching about, that's what it's about. God wants us to do a work for him in these last people days when you're calling. I don't want nobody to take my calling, because I know God got work for me to do. And I'm, what she's saying, I got the message, and I'm just, you know, glad what the Lord is using us in a time
Amen.
Like this. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Bless you. Amen.
We have, thank you, Minister Aaron. 973-545.
Yeah.
973-5845. Is that Sister Monica? Okay, well, thanks so much for calling and talk.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hello.
Yeah, we hear
I'm
you.
I'm good. Praise the Lord. I came in on the tail end also, but what I did catch, it was very powerful. That message also touched me. You got to put yourself in a place of where God can use you, you know, and be there. You know, that the word that my pastor is speaking on this month is being fishers of men and getting out there and bringing people into the church. Hallelujah, Lord God, and being a witness for God. And you can't do that sitting inside a church. You got to get out there. You got to get out there into the streets and bring the people in and talk to the people and let them know about the Lord. And you got to, like you said, a woman of God, you got to study to show thyself approved. You got to have the word in you so you can be able to be a witness to the people.
Yeah.
And that's what I always ask of God, you know, for him to be able to use me for his will and his glory, for the people, for the souls that are out there that haven't even been touched, for the homeless people, for the prostitute, for the drug dealers, for the drug addicts.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
That
Amen.
Nobody, that people keep walking past. Hallelujah,
Amen.
Lord God.
So cool. Yes. Tuning in, Sister Monica. God bless you. Thank
God
you.
God bless
you
also.
God bless you. Prophetess
bless.
Glover. Prophetess Glover.
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
Oh, God bless you. Open.
Okay, good. Praise the Lord to everyone. I'll just say very quickly, well, first of all, I give honor to God as well as to Pastor Adrian and Mother Ruby, and then to our speaker on today, Pastor Burleson. I hope I got that right.
Yes,
so many things that very powerful word. I want to emphasize emphasis to something that you said that was just really in my spirit. A couple of things is that you cannot hear from God effectively without a prayer life. And I think that so oftentimes we forget. I won't even say we just fail outright to pray, but that can be the case. But prayer is so essential in this day, and I think that fasting and prayer is going to move us into the place that we need to be. And as well, you spoke about having respect of persons, and one of the things that we have to be conscious and cautious of in this day and time, no matter how long we are not in the same to the whole house to every man. So I thank God for the word that he placed in you and this opportunity. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Prophet.
Thank you. Charity. Mother Charity.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, somebody's talking. I can't. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
It sounds like somebody, Lon. I don't know.
Yeah, right. And somebody talking as well.
Yeah, but
anyway, I just thank the Lord. Amen. Because certainly that led us to know we got our work cut out for us. Praise God. It can't be me, myself, and I. We got to reach others out there. Praise the Lord. But I enjoyed that sister, amen, that was bringing forth the word of God. Continue to pray for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Mother. It's a static somewhere.
If you can mute your line until we come back to you for your final comment. I think we're getting some noise from your line. So if you just mute your line until we come back to you. God bless you. Okay, Sister Ruby.
Prophetess Darlene Davis.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. God bless. I truly give honor to God. I give honor to the overseer. I thank God for this broadcast. I just thank God for the word on today. And let the church say amen. Pastor Miracle Slick, God continue to use you. God bless.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to Prophet Dede.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
A woman of God, chills all over my body as you were speaking, because I was one of the ones. Amen. God rescued me. Amen. Got me. And at least I can do now is go back out to amen, and get another. I just thank the Lord, amen. I was bold out there in the streets, you know what I mean? But I'm bold enough for Christ. And again, I just thank the Lord, woman of God, for the word of the Lord that came forth out of your mouth. Man, I can relate, amen, to certain things you were saying. But I thank the Lord, amen, that I thank God, again, for people like you. He said, look not at their faces. And I just give God the praise again. We out there, man. We out there to get the people for Jesus Christ to like this. Son of the living God. Thank you, woman of God, for the word. Be encouraged. Amen.
Amen. We're going to Minister Democrat.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise him. That was a word. Amen, yeah. Pastor. God bless you. Amen, amen. Two things I was listening at when she was talking about, we got to remember the horizontal and vertical relationship. Many times we get caught up in our relationship with God and we get holier than thou. And we want to keep it to ourselves, amen. And a lot of times they didn't want to let women preach. Like Peter didn't want to give it to the Gentiles. Like he was only preaching to Jewish folks and Samaritans. And then God said, wait now, I want this for everybody. And we got denominations now where they don't want to give it to the women instead of let the women preach, or they don't want to give it to other people, let them preach. They want to keep it to themselves. And so this was a cautionary tale. Every time I hear this chapter preached and taught on, God reminding us, amen to God, this is for everybody, amen to God. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, guess what? I'm going to go get a Gentile. Hallelujah. And fill him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And take your position. So, amen. This was a good word. Amen. The woman of God reminded us, don't just get holy, but amen to God. How you treating folk around you? Amen.
Hello.
Amen. Amen. So I receive that, Pastor. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Man, we're so excited. We're going. Leaving Pastor for the last almost, but we're gonna go to Mother. What's that, Mother Cannon? Praise the Lord, Mother Cannon.
Oh, praise the Lord! I am so sorry I missed it today because my granddaughter had surgery a week ago. And I went to visit her today. So, but anyway, Lord, be my helper. On tomorrow, I will be listening. So pray for my daughter. Her name is Taylor. She had hip surgery, but she's doing good. But God bless you all. And Evangelist Bernard, you're doing a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job, and all of your staff. May God continue to bless you and strengthen you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mother, thank you, Mother, and we're going to have Pastor Miracle to pray for your granddaughter before we exit off the line. God bless you.
God bless
you.
Amen. Amen. We're going to, I think, did I call this number anyway? 832-4583.
Hi.
Hi, praise the Lord. Who are we speaking to?
This is Minister Shelley Stevens. Blessing.
Oh, okay.
Pastor Miracle, I enjoyed you. I was at work and I was at my desk trying my best. I had to get up and go to the ladies' room. You truly let the Lord use you today. Oh my God. I just literally had this conversation last night, and sometimes people don't hear you when you say these things, but I felt kind of bad when I left them. And I want you to know every word that you said, God confirmed some things for me. And so I love you. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you for truly letting God use you. I love you, my sister.
Amen.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Pastor Hal, okay. God bless. Thank you for tuning in. Okay. We're going to Pastor Hamilton.
Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm here. I'm about to bust through the airways. I'm the last one, and I'm trying to get on there because my pastor, my wife, my rib, my roof, my friend just delivered the Holy Spirit from the lips of her mouth. And I am just,
okay,
I'm just overwhelmed.
Pastor Hamilton, have you gotten married?
Ooh, there you go, asking questions. We love you guys. You guys are loved and appreciated, my pastor. I'm just going to leave it there. I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not going to blow nothing out there right now. But I don't want to go too much into it because you guys will be hearing from the part two tomorrow. But I tell you, it never fails to remain that Jesus will prove himself true every time. Out of every apostle, out of every preacher, out of every bishop, the resemblance of Jesus and how he taught not to sit in a building, but to expand your territory and get out of your comfort zone and go and find people, go and reach people, go and save the lost. And I'm just, you know, we are building a new church. So this word, this Acts is on time, and this word today is revelatory. In the things that we're going through and what we're seeing, and I'm just appreciative. Fred, just continue to allow God to speak in and through you, and everything's going to be just fine. I'm confirmed. Amen. We love you, family. You appreciate it. We will talk to you guys tomorrow on Provoke Fridays. Be there because the same excitement that we're leaving this, we're coming in tomorrow. And for my sister and your daughter, complete healing, complete reconstruction of her bones and her hip, that it will be made better than new, that it will be perfect again. And as my friend prays for her, it will be in agreement, and the prayers of the righteous will go forth. So we thank you. We just thank God for everybody.
Amen. 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 We're going back to Sister Ruby for her final remarks, and Then we're going to go back to our speaker and let her have our final remarks, and we're going to ask her to pray. I also want her to pray for Evangelist Cummins. Evangelist Cummins has been in my spirit today on prayer for Evangelist Cummins. And if there's any other, also I want you to pray for my cousin prophet is Glover, Theodora Glover. She's on the line. She's in Atlanta. They've been snowed in and iced in for 2 days now. So I want Prophetess Miracle to pray for her after we hear remarks from Sister Ruby. God bless you, Sister Ruby. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless. We have had 22 people on the line, and we have in the chat room 1711 and Patrick Gray. We thank you so much for tuning in today. This was a Rhema word. Pastor Miracle, it was just a blessing. I just thank the Lord for the word coming from heaven, the Rhema word, because I say, Lord, am I the only one you put the anointing in to go out in the highway and byways and compel the men to come in? I say, Lord, I thank you that you put witnessing in my spirit. So I'm just excited that the Lord took you there today, because we need to be out on the highways and all the dope house, wherever the Lord lead. When you pray and he leads you, you better have your track, just like you get up to go to work and you need a badge or whatever, just like you get up and work for Jesus Christ, you need to have your full armor on, the track, the helmet, the foot preparation, everything. Yes. And when you leave out of that door, you better have a track to go out and witness for the Lord, for Jesus Christ. Witness for Jesus Christ. I'm this excited, Pastor Miracle. It just bubbled all up in my soul. I got to get back out there. God bless you. That was a rhema word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Ruby. But before I go to Pastor Miracle, I'm going to ask Prophetess Glover also to pray for Pastor Miracle and Pastor Hamilton for the work that they're doing down in Houston. So let me bring Prophetess Glover on first, and then we'll come back to Prophetess Miracle to end everything. And so Prophetess Glover, if you would pray for Pastor Edward Hamilton and Pastor Miracle Burlington, we want the Lord to just bless the work that they're doing there in Houston. Amen. And the merging of their ministry. Prophetess Glover?
I think she sort of got cut off, the weather or something. She went out.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go on to Pastor. Let me go to Minister Democrat. He heard the prayer request. So open up his line and we'll go to him.
Yes,
amen, 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 amen. We're going to pray, amen, to God, that God begin to bless, amen, that ministry. Amen, amen. You know, soul ties ain't all a bad thing. Amen. When it's like God said, the good thing about it, amen, to God, this soul tie, amen, to God, the praying in her is going to transfer to him. Huh? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen, to God, and the praying in him is going to transfer to her. Amen, to God. So God is going to, amen, to God, begin to bless, amen, as we begin to decree and declare this, amen, to God, over this union in the name of Jesus, even now, God. Amen, to God, bless this soul tie, God. Amen, to God, between, amen, to God, Pastor Miracle, God. Hallelujah, amen, to God, and Pastor Hamilton, God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, create in this soul tie. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen, a ministry, amen, to God, begin to bless it again. Those that are assigned to him, oh God. Amen to God, that this soul tie be a blessing, oh God. Hallelujah, in their congregation. Amen to God, and those that, oh God, that they are witnessing to, oh God, and those, oh God, even they're praying for right now, oh God. Amen to God, that amen, as she is praying, oh God. Hallelujah, oh God. Oh God, build up, oh God, the Holy Ghost inside of her, oh God. Amen, that it will go into him, oh God. Amen, while one is praying, oh God, one can preach, amen to God, and while one is preaching, amen to God. Amen, one can pray. God, we cover them right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, not by power nor by might, oh God, but by your spirit, God, continue to do this new thing, oh God. Hallelujah, oh God, in Jesus' name, oh God, we claim it right now, God, the anointing, oh God. Hallelujah, because of the anointing, amen, every single evil satanic attack, amen, is destroyed in the name of Jesus. We speak it right now, oh God. When they've come together, we know that the enemy is around, oh God. But in the name of Jesus, oh God, this soul tie, God, they begin to encourage one another in the name of Jesus, oh God. Amen, that the heads begin to come around them from this conversation, from this prayer, God. The heads come over their congregation. The heads go around those assigned to them. The heads go around their anointing and the mantle that you put over them because of this ministry. We speak it right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh God, that when they speak, oh God, they will speak with anointing, oh God. Oh God, even now, God, that no weapon formed against them, their ministry shall prosper. Oh God, we claim this prayer in Jesus' name, that there be a covering, oh God. Hallelujah, oh God, that the angels, oh God, will bless, oh God, this soul tie in the name of Jesus, oh God. Hallelujah, that it be a spiritual thing, oh God, that people will be blessed by the words that come out of their mouth. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. We decree it and declare it. Amen. And all we need is a witness. Amen. That somebody to decree and declare with us. The Bible says there are two or three. Amen. Amen. That somebody said, Lord, bless
Hallelujah.
This soul tie. In the name of Jesus. We just need two or three. Amen to God. Bless this soul tie. There's power on this line. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless this soul tie. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you right now, God. We thank you for what
you
want to
do
with this ministry, God. In Jesus' name,
God.
We thank you in advance, oh God. Amen. Like the song say, oh God. I got the seed in the ground. Hallelujah, God. Somebody been praying. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God. We're just continuing prayer. Praise the name of the Lord. We're praying for your daughter. Hallelujah. We're praying her healing right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We just bind together in agreement, declaring healing, perfect healing. Hallelujah. That no weapon that is formed against her physical body shall prosper. But we call her now the healed of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank God that it is done. The word of God says that where we are together, we're touching and we're agreeing and we ask for something. He says that we can have those things that we ask for if we believe and not doubt. So right now we're just declaring that she is healed in the mighty name of Jesus. We're praying for the prophetess in Atlanta. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your perfect will being done in our sister, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you that she is divinely protected no matter what's going on there with the weather, Lord God, a hedge of protection around her and her family, Father God. Advancement even in her ministry, increasing in her anointing, Lord God. This blessing that was on Cornelius, we're praying that for her house. Hallelujah. Yes. We're praying that for her family, for her ministry, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. We're praying for Evangelist Cummings, Lord God. May your perfect will be done for her, Jesus. Clarity, Lord God, concerning any direction that is needed. Father God, we're just releasing a blood covering around her, Lord God, for protection. Perfection of the things that concern her, no matter what it is, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We're lifting up Evangelist Bernard's sister. We're thanking you now for her release. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord God. We're thanking you, Lord God, that your will is being done in that situation, that the prayers of the righteous have availed much power. Thank you, Lord God, that she has not been forgotten. Hallelujah. So we're just worshiping you now for the tremendous breakthrough in that, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. And we're thankful, Lord God, for the word of God that was released, Lord God, on this evening. And we thank you, Father, that you said in your word, that your word shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that for which it was sent. And I declare over this word that this is not a word that shall fall on stony ground. It's not a word that the cares of life shall choke out. But we declare fruit in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm praying, Lord God, for those that heard the word today, I'm praying a supernatural grace upon them to live it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, a supernatural anointing and grace to change and to shift with you, to see things in a different way and to begin to move, hallelujah, in a new direction in alignment with your perfect will in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that you move in the eyes and you change the direction. You move in the heart and you birth a repentance and a change, Lord, a conviction deep in the heart. Don't let us settle and be the same that we've always been, Lord God, but bring a new birthing of revival, Lord God, through new fruits of evangelism, in the mighty name, through new outreaches, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Fill us, Lord God, with the wisdom we need to win this generation of power of the living blood, Lord God. We are availing us to you, Lord God. We shall not be stagnant. We shall not be conformed, Lord God. Hallelujah, to traditions of men, to religions, Lord God, but we shall move with your spirit. Hallelujah, thank you that you're opening us up. Thank you that you're changing us, Lord God. You're dealing with our hearts even now. Thank you, Lord God, that we shall win the loss. We shall fulfill the commission, Lord God, that you gave us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for New Destiny Ministry. Thank you that this is a light set upon a hill. Begin to draw, Lord God, even the more. All on the internet, Lord God, brood over the hearts of people. Guide them to this ministry. Cause them to begin to tune in, Lord God. And be blessed. Thank you for those that are calling the sign for the broadcasting, Lord God. We just thank you for the ministry family. Lord God, we worship you for Evangelist Bernard. Thank you for her strength. Thank you for the obedience. Thank you for the team. Thank you for Sister Ruby, Lord God, and others faithful like her that you are sending, Lord God. We worship you. We thank you for all that you're doing. Hallelujah. We thank you that the works that you did, Lord God, we should do greater works now. We praise the name, O God. You're worthy, O God. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. We adore you. We praise you. We bless you. We're in expectation. Stir us up, Lord God, to action. Thank you that we are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers also. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise, Lord God, and we thank you for the anointing and the power to change, Lord God, that we've been filled with might in our inner man by the power of the Holy Ghost, the might that rises up on the inside of us and calls us to rise up and be able to do things that we had never done before. That spirit of might that came upon Samson, Lord God, that ability to go out and win the neighborhood, that ability to draw them in, that ability to get them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, that ability to attract the right people to minister to them. Lord God, we worship you. We're trusting you, Jesus, for supernatural fruit and ability now. We're trusting you, Jesus, for supernatural harvest, Lord God. We bless your name. We worship you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for the union that you've put together. Thank you for Pastor Hamilton and myself. Thank you for the others, Lord God, that you're blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you that you're speaking the heart. You're connecting, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God. We worship you. We give, Lord, we give you the glory for all things. We give you glory in all things. We praise you. We praise you and we love you, Lord God. There's none like you. We call you faithful. We call you faithful, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you and we give you alone all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Want to encourage you all to tune in tomorrow for Provoke Fridays.
Thank you.
3 p.m. You know, Pastor Hamilton will be teaching from Acts chapter 11. And, you know, just like he said, the same, you know, we're just bridging right over, you know, into the word of God on tomorrow. So join us again right here. And we thank you. Thank God for you, Evangelist Bernard, and for all that he's doing through you and New Destiny Ministries. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 God bless. Thank God for that awesome word today. Amen. By way of announcement, we want you to know that we're going to be staying in the stead for our Saturday host, Minister Billy Burns. She come on Saturday morning. Her segment is titled They Overcame. So I'll be standing in her stead. I want to provoke some of you all to get on the line early Saturday morning at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 a.m. Central Time, and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to share a word of testimony, it'll be open to you all. I will be hosting in her segment, in her stead. I don't do this every Saturday. I take a little breather also, but she has an engagement, so I will be standing in her stead. So we asking all of you all that will make the sacrifice and come on and share your testimony this Saturday on They Overcame. The call-in number is the same, area code 858-683-1334. Amen. And those of you that we have announced, I don't have Prophetess Darlene. I don't know if she's fallen off the line, but she has a prayer line that she hosts on Tuesday. Now she added on Thursdays and Saturdays. And I don't know if she's still on the line. I'll ask Sister Ruby, but she's on at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern on the East Coast. So tune in and be a support to this wonderful woman of God. She is certainly a woman of God that has a word in her mouth, and we pray on her line. How many know if there ever was a time we need more prayer? It's now. We need 24-hour prayer. We need to start some prayer chains where somebody be praying 1 or 2 hours around the clock, nonstop, covering our family, covering our ministry, covering our children, covering our law enforcement and our teachers and our doctors. We need that prayer. Amen. So we invite you to tune in. Also, a friend of mine and dear, very dear friend and mentor of mine, Reverend Janice Ivy Smith, she is hosting a broadcast. If you want to get in tune with studying the Bible, she's going from Genesis to Revelation, and she's on Wednesdays and Friday morning at 10 a.m. California time. That's 1 o'clock, and I do know her call-in number because I'm helping assist her with this transition and as she began to teach on Blog Talk Radio. And her call-in number is area code 347-215-8982. Once again, that's 347-215-8982, and she'll be on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. our time. Amen. And one more announcement. As we're getting ready for next week, we're going to take a day or two, and we're going to just celebrate Black History Month. Amen. I know Mother Charity and Mother Cannon, they're much older than us, and they've seen some things, so we're going to get together and just celebrate Black History next month. And also next Thursday, we have Pastor R.C. Blakes Jr. out of my hometown, New Orleans, Louisiana. He will be with us next Thursday on the 20th of February, and we will be doing a live interview, and also he'll be giving us a word. He will be in Oakland, California on February the 28th for his Girls' Night in the Word. Amen. He'll be teaching on 10 habits of successful women. I'd like successful Holy Ghost-filled women. Amen. Holy women. Amen. So we just want to give you those announcements, and we will be announcing that again on tomorrow. Pastor Hamilton will be speaking on Chapter 11, as Pastor Burleson have already stated. Amen. So we'll see you on tomorrow. God bless you all. Sister Ruby.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I have Prophetess Darlene Davis' number. She's on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday. And you can reach her prayer ministry at 712-432-1500. And the access code is 211-498#. Okay, God bless. Is this been a blessing? We thank you all for tuning in. We had over 22 callers on today. It's been a blessing. The Lord is adding. So we're going to close out with, as Prophet Miracle says, shifting. So let's play with shifting.
Oh,
That was Shifting the Atmosphere by James Nelson Wick. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow for Provoke Friday and continue the Book of Acts, chapter 11. Have a blessed evening.